Okay, well, in fact, we are in the visualization session, but the Culture 3D Cloud platform, it's more than that. It's a cloud computing platform for 3D scanning, documentation, preservation, and dissemination of cultural heritage. So the title is pretty ambitious, as you can see. So I will share this with Anthony. The partners, we have people from the museum. We have the IGN, the mapping agency in France. We have the MAP. Many people from the MAP here, Institut Min Telecom, INRIA, SEWA, and so on, and also companies for the technological part. So very quickly, then very quick introduction. So it's an image-based modeling cloud computing web service that is dedicated to the cultural heritage community. It was intended to be versatile in terms of scale, typologies, density, provide high density and accurate output. So this high resolution, producing high resolution models was the initial goal. We wanted to be based on open source software, be it Micmac or the Seagull library, and user friendly. You see that this is not, this last part is not the easiest thing to do. So what was the context that motivated this project? So it was first the limits of current practices. We realized that, especially for laser scanners that requires highly specialized skills, this is still true for data acquisition. Very often, as Anthony said this morning, heterogeneous results depend on software solution and practices. So very often, it's also a trial and error process where people try things, and it's a bit, it's not very reproducible. And before, it was something like that, where you had a black box and where the internal behavior of that box is not really known. We don't really know what was the code doing inside. And the challenge of this project was to facilitate adoption of 3Dization for routine practice. And so the objective was that, to go toward democratization, especially toward cultural heritage people. So the first assessment is that there was a large use of digital camera, especially in the cultural heritage area, in museums in particular. Widespread expert knowledge in image-based modeling, because these people, the photographers in main museum, you have really photography departments with very expert photographs. So therefore, motivation was to say, why not making use of that expertise and turn the photographers into image-based modelers, and enabling also non-expert end users to perform the 3Dization. That was another goal here. So the objective was to contribute to make the platform work for acquisition. First step was acquisition settings and protocols. That was also an assessment that we did. We realized that photogrammetry was a very nice tool, but if you want to reach very high definition model, very high resolution models, you need to follow some specific protocols. And that protocol, especially the photography acquisition protocol, where Anthony is working a lot on that, is making a lot of a difference for the quality of the model. Then automatic remote computing and remote, because also in the museums, you don't have always this high computational power. Storage and sharing, and also online visualization. So this, why Culture 3D Cloud? Because first, the second component beside culture and photogrammetry and 3D is the cloud. Cloud computing, because for digitization, we have access to extraordinary computing power. Typically, it can be thousands of CPUs virtually. Storage, it's nice because on the cloud, you have a storage that is continuously growing containers. And the diffusion can be also multi-support. And now the platform is hosted in a TGIR Humanum with four simultaneous users. So the current platform runs on 8 cores, 64 gigabytes of RAM, and 80 gigabytes of disk. This is the current platform hosted in Humanum. This is the scope of the platform. This, what's currently implemented is that the platform is working for these types of morphologies, like bas-relief and these objects and statue objects like that, a facade and one building monument. But for larger scale like that, taken for shot from drones or instrumented UAV unmanned vehicles and a very large site. This is still in progress, work in progress. And for the platform itself, so the platform has several components. One was the photo modeling part with protocol, photos, computing on the cloud, up to producing the 3D model. Another part for the documentation with perennial storage, indexing. I won't talk about that today. Another part on analysis, to analyze the shape, alteration, and so on. And here was for the dissemination to facilitate integration of the contents, and here for remote visualization. So for 3D digitization part, the work package leader was Livio De Luca. Now I hand it over to Anthony.
So what we created was a kind of modular pipeline, because we were trying to do this using Micmac, which is a really regarding software. It means that if you don't put good input data, you will not have a result. So the first step was to create some kind of data acquisition protocol. And we created like in, we needed to summarize, maybe more quite extremely, but to summarize all the process and to explain all the main parameters in this condition, what you have to do, etc. And so we created a PDF guide. For now, it's just in French, but we are going to translate it. And this PDF is like, it's not like 5 pages. It's 30 pages, and it's explaining all the photographic camera work, how to set all the parameters, and etc. And it's also giving the very basic recommendation for the very basic type of data acquisition. So like a linear acquisition, a circular acquisition, and we cannot go further than this for the more complicated stuff. So we created another mode, which is the random mode, which is more generic mode. So the idea was just to take this this pipeline. We created this this data acquisition protocol, and then we run some kind of crash test on different kind of data, good one, bad one, etc., in order to find the best parameters to give, so as to have a robust answer and to guarantee somehow that if the data are quite correct, you will have a result using this semi-automatic script. So what is doing inside the script that we created in a modular way? It means that it's functioning like with different kind of bricks, different steps, and in each step, if there is something new that we can add, that we can update, we can make the code evolve and the script evolve quite easily because it's modular. It's also adaptive because, like, from the first step, we integrated some features like the automatic file extension recognition. So you don't have need to say something. If you upload JPEG, you will work on JPEG. If you input TIFF, you will work with TIFF. After that, there is an adaptation to the size. So with the size of the image, just to look for the optimum number of tie points, but also with the size of the data set. Because if you have a small data set, you will process like the bundle adjustment like very easily. But if you have a large data set, maybe there is another strategy to adapt, to make sure that you will have a result and faster as possible. So we set a kind of threshold just in order to set it. And after, you have some presets. So the preset, like I said, is like the linear, the circular, or the random acquisition. So you can just choose in between this. After, for the orientation, the alignment of the picture, we decided to use not like in the commercial software, the lowest calibration model. We put the highest calibration model with 10 parameters. And after that, yeah, if it's necessary, you will have an automatic initial calibration taken from a small part of your data set. And so we are trying to have a kind of a robust alignment. And after that, for the dense matching process, you can also choose your parameter. So you can choose if you want an epipolar mode, it means by a 2x2 picture, or if you want to use a multi-view approach. And then you can choose your density. Do you want 1 point for 4 pixel, 1 point for 16 pixel, etc. So it's a kind of preset, but you still have some access for some very basic features. As an example, I will show you like how it can work. You can have really small data set with just six pictures, and you have like some example of how it has been tuned. More complex object, and you can see that we can provide like a dense point cloud, like really dense. It's not like the first version of 123D Catch or Memento that were just click and go, and you were not able to choose what you wanted. Other kind of examples, so you can see that it's working on different kind of object, even from architecture. And you can see like all the data acquisition process and etc. You can access to all the results. And then I will give again the speak to.
Okay. Yeah. So at INRIA we were in charge of this surface reconstruction module because this photogrammetry was contributed by IGN. And all the protocol by the map. So for surface reconstruction, we take as input the output of the photogrammetry. That's a dense 3D point set with colors. And then what the platform offers is some steps for pre-processing the point set, surface reconstruction, and post-processing. Just to tell you that, yes, the design choices are to rely upon open source libraries. The photogrammetry is called MicMac, and the Seagull open source library for surface reconstruction and point set processing. So there is some interoperability in the sense that these tools for reading the files, for processing the point set, outlier removal, simplification, smoothing, analysis, and so on, surface reconstruction and post-processing here, is intended to be modular at least, and there is also documentation and so on. And that is deployed on the cloud now. And if I show you just this example use case, you follow protocol. There is some dense photogrammetry going on that makes a coarse calibration, then a fine calibration, the 3D point set, up to the reconstruction of the surface. Yeah, like Anthony said, it's 14 million points for 26 photos. So it's therefore intended to produce decently high definition point set. This is, let's say, already raw point set, but to 7 million points here, just to UNID. After, you see that there is a little bit of noise over here. We have an algorithm for denoising and a little bit of denoising and a little bit of smoothing. Then the surface reconstructed with 29 million triangles. We have an algorithm for hole filling. This may not be good for all curators. Some people don't want to invent any data if there are no measurements. So this is good or bad, depending on what you want to do. This is a simplified mesh with close to a million triangles. And we also, of course, offer levels of details with standard mesh simplification algorithms. I show you just the raw mesh over here. This is basically what the platform can do, at least from the digitization side and photogrammetry digitization. So that's the conclusion. It's the goal is to have an affordable service for non-expert users, except the data acquisitions. We require people to follow a protocol, but after that, you don't have to be an expert on geometry processing and compile these tools on your computer. These high computational resources are accessible online via the cloud. If the correct input data, then we can guarantee some high density and accuracy. What's coming soon will be multifocal, fisheye, UAVs, so the use of other type of cameras. You can comment more on that. And there is a support mail here for the platform.
I mean, like if you want to try it, I can provide you some user account. So just send an email.
Right.
And I can show you a demo because it's not a project, it's something that is working, actually. Okay, so just what you need to do, yep, is just to open your favorite web browser, go to the server host at Humanum. And it's now that's I need to. Okay. I need to. Okay, I'll do it like this. So we just need to go there, and after you have some kind of login page, and then you enter your workspace. And inside your workspace, you have all of your project there, and you can create your own project, or you can just check another one. As an example, I can show you one we have here. So basically, here you just upload your picture. You just need to wait some time, depending of your internet connection, for all the pictures to be loaded, and then you just go to the advanced tab. You select your type of processing. You select the mode of dense matching you want to use. You select your density. You select what you want to produce. If you want the sparse point cloud, the dense point cloud, and the mesh, and then you run your project. And then you will have a taskbar here to see where is your processing. And at some point, you will have like all your all kind of log to check like if everything's going well inside. So you can check all your parameters, you can check your metadata, you can check the number of tie points, you can check your residue of calibration. And after, you can have your result here. You can visualize inside the site. So here we have the sparse point cloud, but I can switch to the dense one. So it's just very basic visualization. It's just to check if everything is okay. And if it's okay, you just go there and you download what you want in a different format. And after, you have it directly on your laptop, and you can do whatever you want. And that's all.